Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the PKN Newsroom. This is the 1,325th episode on Purpose Kingdom Network. I am your girl, Adrian with Understanding Valens. And tonight, alongside with me, I have Brother Robert Papa Pudson.
Hello, everybody.
And Pastor Tylene Tappy Toy Daly.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
And tonight, we want to welcome you all to the PKN Newsroom. If you'd like to join in live on the air, the number to call in is 319-527-6091. By pressing 1, that gives us the cue that you want to come in. When you hear the beep, it's your turn to speak. So, without further ado, we have a lot to talk about because this is the news. We want to sum it up, but I think we should start right off the bat. Y'all, we have 9 days until the election. Now, they say that millions of the votes are already counted. I just got one question. If it's about to be 200,000 more people about to die in the next week because they say that the COVID is that bad and they count the numbers like that, what about the votes that's already in and the people are dead? What they going to do? Talk to me.
Well, if they got their vote in before they died, they got to count the votes.
You
if
know
I
what?
Voted,
and that would be counted as a valid vote.
Right, like if I voted early and I voted on the 14th and I died on the 18th, my vote is legit. So that vote got to count.
Even though the vote
yes,
is not
yes, it
until
does.
November 3rd.
Well, the vote is actually now. If you look at all of the advertisements and things, they have been doing, because of COVID-19, they have been doing what they call early voting. You have to have your vote postmarked by November 3rd. However, if the election total isn't going to start being counted until sometime after November 3rd. But however, like, if my vote got in and I filled out all of my paperwork correctly, the vote is in.
And it works the way that works. It's just the same as an absentee ballot. Now, the thing is that with the absentee ballot is that even though, you know, your vote as an absentee ballot, no matter what time you had, you know, mailed it off, as long as it was before the election date, it still counted. So it still counts as a vote casted. I don't know if that made any sense, but, you know, pretty much it's just like a letter, or if you had, you know, you had to make a payment or something, and as long as it was postmarked at a certain date, even though if your letter arrived after the date, it still counted as being on time. Because you mailed it at that date.
Oh. Okay. Well, I was just wondering because it's 9 days before, and they're talking about everybody dying. I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. It's like, do you make a choice? I believe that in 2020, we have the right as believers to say, guess what? If you're going to do this thing, it's almost like it take on your banner, take on your shield, take your whole cross, and what they say, prepare yourself. And do what you need to do, because if you have to go to work, you should be working. If you have to do what you do, you need to be doing it. You take care of your precautions, and you take care of what you need. But election day is important. So no matter where you are, no matter who you are, you should be getting a vote in. Correct?
Oh, 100% correct right there.
I will say, Chappie, you tell them how it is by firing people in the White House.
I'm sorry, say that part again.
I said, please explain to the people, just in case they've never heard PKN News, how it is that we have the right to fire people in the White House and how we do what we do to get people out. We can change Washington the way that we want it. We can make Washington look like what we want as opposed to what they do it. Tell them how they do it.
Right.
I always say that we have to remember every elected politician works for us, the people who elected mm-hmm. them into office. I don't care if you're talking about city council at the local level, ward leaders at the lowest level, or the president of the United States at the highest level. They are all mm-hmm. employed by the citizens of the United States of America. And just like with any job, if the people are not doing the job to the specifications mm-hmm. that they were hired to do it, they can be fired. And the way that you get fired if you are in government is you get voted in or voted out. In this case, for the termination of employment, they're getting voted out. Now, my personal opinion, again, I'm going to say it again, my personal opinion, everything in Washington need to go. I don't care what position you hold, what title, what office. I don't care if you got elected in the office at the age of 20 and now you're 70. You need to go. You need to be out of there. I don't care if you just cleaning the bathrooms and the toilets and dumping trash cans. Guess what? Sorry, bye-bye. You got to go. Washington has not done anything. And guess what? I know somebody waiting for me to say for Black Americans. Nope. Washington has really not done anything for anybody that does not fit a certain income bracket. And that's the truth of it. I pray that nobody's sitting there going, oh, my gosh, they gave us a little bit more money for the earned income credit for children. Yeah, okay. That don't impress me because that was paperwork that he signed, but it was started under Obama's era or administration. So that don't impress. Oh, he gave us the stimulus relief package. Yeah, okay. But they're also the ones, and notice I said they, plural, they're also the ones that got us in the situation where we would need a stimulus relief package. The Republicans are so busy saying that the Democrats ain't nothing, and the Democrats are so busy saying the Republicans ain't nothing, that when you really look at it at the end of the day, ain't none of them doing nothing. Everybody needs to be replaced. We need some fresh blood up in Washington who are willing to stand up and fight for the rights of the everyday people. Now, unfortunately, sometimes you got to pick the options that are put in for you. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, who you shouldn't vote for. All I'm saying is, in my personal opinion, based on what I have seen take place over the past 4 years, everything in Washington need to go, starting with the head. That's just my opinion.
Well, you know what?
I'm sure
I agree.
And if you're out there and you're listening and you agree, we invite you to call in tonight live 319-527-6091 and maybe get your voice heard, your opinion heard, or a question that you might need to know. Because for sure, two things are certain. It's important when you realize what is at stake. Some people still don't know. And if you don't know now, well, I mean, you have like 9 days to really figure it out. Pay attention. I hate to say don't watch the television because the television is probably going to just give you a bunch of mess that make you think that you shouldn't go at all. That's the last thing that you should be thinking about because that's a part of the trick of why it looks the way that it does and it becomes confusing. And it seems as if it's not for you or no one out there cares. Or it doesn't matter what we do or if we don't show up. Like Chap just said, you got to show up. Your vote is important. And if you don't like what's going on, we do have a way to change it. But we got to show up. We can't talk about it and then not be about it. And, of course, speaking of the Black lives, I like the fact that we're speaking of Black lives because when you said just not Black lives, we have to understand that now there's a situation in America where I'm watching it happen And I'm not sure if it's as big as the situation in your world, but I want to ask the question because tonight is the news and it's happening all across the Americas. Why? Because people are upset and they have the right to be and they want to say something. People are protesting, but I'm going past protest, okay? I'm going to the regular individual person who now has the fear of one being pulled over. I'm now talking about the mother who now is scared for her son's life to the point where she now is going too far to the point where she's now violating for everybody and any situation can happen because of the fact that the cop is a cop and we know the cops are bad. We have this thing going on right now where the cops are bad and we have this whole, you know, cops are, I don't know, it seems like they're saying that the cops are bad. So I've been seeing different things on television, and I'm watching situations happen. And I know that there's a need for, like, de-escalating of situations, but there's a way that we can handle it, and I'm talking black right now, because of the fact that it seems as if we're upset. And because of the fact that we're upset and we feel as though we don't have to follow the rules, we don't have to obey a law. If a police officer says something, we have the right to snap back. What is your looks on that? Like, do you guys see that? Are you seeing what I'm talking about, or am I just seeing it in that way?
Well, you know what? No, you're totally right. As how you're seeing it, what it is just the frustration that's been boiling for many years, just like, you know, the same enigma of the hovering of us being in slavery and captured, you know, and basically making, you know, us eventually, like, you know, embrace the whole, you know, the whole concept of America. But the whole thing is that we have to understand that, you know, now, that was then, this is now. Now we have a chance to do things, and what we are not acting on is, you know, if we don't exercise our right to vote, and it's not just on presidential elections, it's every time that an election comes up, we have to make sure that we vote the right people in, because if we understand this rightly, and how we, you know, understand, now this is not about a Democratic or Republican thing. On the local level, now on the local level, in each and every city in the United States, we have a chance to make a change there. But the only thing or the only problem that we have there is that we are electing the wrong people, and we are constantly just saying, hey, this is the wrong guy, this is the wrong judge, this is the wrong city controller, this is the wrong administrator for our city. But these guys are supposed to be, you know, in act, and if you pay attention to what are saying or their agenda or what they're doing, and they're basically riding on the coattails, especially when Barack Obama was president, a lot of Democratic people, you know, in our city right now, that's still, you know, right now in office because of on the coattails of President Barack Obama. And what we had to realize and we had to know and understand is that these people are the same judges, the same city controllers, the same people at the parking authority that we elected. Nobody else done this but us. Now, did we check their agenda? Did we, you know, really know what they were about? Did we just say that because they're a Democrat, we're going to vote for them? And that's our problem. Because when you push that all Democratic lever, you know, you're actually, you know, because of who you really want to be president, and then under that, you know, we got the Senate, the state representative, and everything on every level. The question I want to ask everybody is that, you know, when you do something like that, when you push that lever of faking on that whole level is, when you go to court, no matter if it's a traffic ticket, no matter if, you know, and it don't have to be you. It could be a relative. Do they really represent your agenda? So when you go to court and you wonder why justice was not administered, justice was not served, did you play a part in that? Yes, you did. So don't blame anybody but yourself. Things are not right in the government. And like Pastor Tory said earlier, you know, we are the ones responsible for making sure the right people represent our beliefs or what we need in our community. And if we make the wrong choice, that's on us. But the good part about it is that they all have terms. So in the next term, you need to make sure you resound and you make sure you be the sounding board of what is wrong with that person and that administration and that time. If you don't do that, then it's going to repeat itself. Can I get an amen on that one?
No, no. It made sense. And you're right, because that's all it does. It repeats itself and continually repeats itself. But now it's time to change it. 2020, you know, we're in the pandemic. What you got to say, Jeff?
To answer that question, first you have to understand where the actual modern-day police department developed from. And that tells where that underlying, I don't want to say hatred, but that underlying, that I'm sorry, I'm not even going to say underlying. That's where the elephant in the room comes in when you're talking about police departments and patrolling and people of color being stopped by the police. Unfortunately, when a person is stopped by the police, the first thing that you're told is to obey their commands. However, in obeying their commands, the assumption or the thought process on that is that they're giving you legal commands or that they're stopping you for a legal reason. Or that they witnessed something other than just you fit the description of driving down the street on a day that ends with Y in the neighborhood that probably doesn't look, it matches your car, or your complexion doesn't match your car, or the neighborhood you're walking in, or somebody decided you have too many credit cards, so you have to be up to something illegal, or maybe that, you know, your dog is too cute for you to have it, or you might be a black parent raising a white child, and oh my goodness, you must have kidnapped that child. And I'm just throwing those out there. You know, you wrote a bad check, so we got to call 911. The things that make that happen, believe it or not, goes all the way back to the slavery time. The very first police department down south. Well, let me start up north first. Up north was called the Night Watch. They had the night watchmen. Everyone knows the story of Paul Revere riding through the town saying the British is coming, the British is coming. Well, that was his job. He was a part of the Night Watch. And as part of the Night Watch, he may have been hired for that task, or he may have been a criminal that was being punished, and his punishment was that he had to serve the Night Watch. They don't tell us that the Night Watchmen weren't criminals. That's the start of it up in the north. Then you had those in the colonies in the north that had money that were hired what they would call their safety patrol. And those were people that were hired by well-to-do individuals who were usually criminals of some sort. And they would make sure that whoever hired them, their property stayed safe and no one violated them in any way. Now, when you get to down south, they were called the slave patrol, and their job was to ride around on horseback to make sure that no slaves escaped, or to catch runaway slaves, or to make sure the slaves didn't get into create a riot or create an uproar or things like of that nature. And then the slave patrol, if I'm not mistaken, the slave patrol gave way to the I want to make sure I give you the right information. The slave patrol, I'm sorry, lasted up until the Civil War, and then they ended in the Civil War, and that's what created or gave way to the Ku Klux Klan, who were basically doing the same thing, except this time it went past slavery and was into if you were someone that did not fit their description of what was right, then they terrorized you. And that's where a lot of the rules and things that our police department follow today go by. So when we talk about today's society and what's going on with the police, you know, I heard a song from N.W.A. that played when I was a young teen, I'm going to say a preteen, young teenage life, and it was, I'm going to use the initial, F the police. And they were talking about the beatings and the brutality and the corruption then. So it's not that it's something new. What has happened is we now have a person in leadership who, when they, I'll use Biden's word, that likes to put fuel on the fire. So instead of putting out small fires, they have created bigger fires. And now we have, when you come across the system in the United States of America, we have a wildfire burning when it comes to police relationships with people of color. Unfortunately, yes, that means that we have to do things like tell our children what they should or shouldn't do when they come in contact with a police officer. On the same token, that doesn't necessarily guarantee that you won't get hurt in the process. So then it goes back to the power of prayer. That's why we have to pray for our children. That's how why we have to cover our children in prayer. The other thing that we have to do is vote. One of the questions on the ballot this year, and I forget which question it is, but when you get to it, they're talking about changing a law. And the law that they're talking about changing is the stop and frisk law. Whatever that law is that gave police officers the right to, if I see you on the street and you look like something that I think is a danger or doesn't belong here, just on how you look, you might not have said nothing, did nothing, thought nothing. You could be on the corner waiting for the bus. But if you look like you don't fit the area that they see you in, they can stop you and frisk you. And that was a law. Well, that is one of the questions that they're asking on this election ballot. How do I know? Because my mother voted by mail this year, and she asked me to explain that question to her. Yes and no. Do you think we should stop this law? Why is that on the ballot? Because this particular year we've seen tapes where the person trying to get back into their car got shot dead in front of children. Another one had their knee nailed, their neck nailed on by a knee until they died, calling out for their mother. A grown man calling out for his mother as he's dying. Do you know how that breaks my heart? Yet the man that shot a couple of people up in the protest and then walked past the police with the automatic weapon in his hand, and the police was like, hey, sir, how you doing? Come on by. You're in our way. We got to get down there to where the danger is. But nobody sought to stop this man that was walking with the automatic weapon, especially since they were responding to reports of someone in the crowd shooting off an automatic weapon. They just let him go. So in the midst of it, is it a conversation we have to have? Yes, but the key to it is we got to change the laws. If you don't like what's happening, we have to change the laws. And the way we change the laws is by voting. And the way that we get them changed when we vote is we vote some people into Washington, into our city offices that are not afraid to say, hell no, we ain't taking that. You're not doing, this got to get changed. We not slaves no more. We don't need that type of patrol. And for everybody that's losing their mind, I'm sorry, I just got to say this. For everybody that's losing their mind, and I hand it back over to you guys, about the defunding of the police. Defunding of the police department does not mean that they just stop giving them funds. it means that the funds are given for specific and like, you know, dotted out the line reasons. But it doesn't mean that it will cause the police department to stop existing. If you don't believe that they can begin to defund something and it still exists, look at your school district. They defund education all the time, but we still have schools. I'm just saying. But it's back to you. Let me know what y'all think.
Hey, man, I mean, I just like what you just said right there. And I'm like, I'm 100 with that. Because, you know, defunding, you know, just that word right there, it doesn't mean anything as far as what common everyday people, you know, and what, how the interaction of what goes on. And the defunding does not, like you said, it does not mean that the police will not exist. Now, if you want to know what's really a problem is how they get a lot of funds from us, from the sugar tax. They had the casino tax. They had the cigarette tax, which now exists right now. All three exist right now. And they still don't have enough money. So, you know, I'm just wondering, like, how are they just keep taxing everyday citizens that's going, you know, just going out and doing everyday jobs and working hard, and I know they're busting it. But my thing is that when do we see results from our government? And this is why I say it is important to vote, because we're not seeing any results at all. So we need to vote. We need to make sure that we get the right people in place. And if you can't, you know, get the job done, we'll find somebody. And this is the problem I have with the Democratic and Republican Party, is that because we only have one or two, and we do have the Green Party, you know, we do have the small, you know, independent parties, but my problem is that we don't have enough choices to choose from people because we know what they stand for. But sometimes just because of, you know, what we think they stand for does not mean that they're going to do it. Even we voted for Mayor Kenney. His agenda changed. He seems like he's a Republican, you know, candidate each and every time after he gets elected. And I say, you know, no more. Let's make sure that this thing gets done the right way. And you know, I don't know, you know, how you know everybody feels, but my thing is that, you know, if you continually keep voting, you know, the wrong person in, and at the end of the day, you wonder why, well, why is this is not happening for us, or why is this not happening for me? There's a reason why, because the wrong person is there. And we just have to make sure that we just get the right person in. And even though, you know, I know everybody's agenda does not meet, at least make sure that it meets the criteria for your neighborhood, at least. And if it doesn't meet your criteria, you know, that's not good enough. Because that's where everybody, especially, and I don't know if anybody knows anything about Philadelphia, where there are neighborhoods that are ignored, where there is just no kind of government involvement, no kind of government cleanup, no anything. And that's because of the people that are involved in the neighborhoods or a lack of involvement. When you have a lack of involvement, that means you need to just get out of there. And like Pastor Tori said, some people have been incumbents in neighborhoods for years. And the same results are the same. I don't care about your name. I don't care about anything other than what you can do for me, because I pay taxes, paid you in office. I may not have elected you, but guess what? I can get you out, okay, because make sure that you hear my voice. Make sure you hear our voice. And that's what I just want to make sure that everybody understands. Make sure our voice is heard. And that's all I have to say right there on that matter.
All right. Well,
what I can say is y'all heard it there, and y'all need to know. Just right now, like I said, you got 9 days. And if you haven't already, today you're hearing it first on Purpose Kingdom Network, the 1003, what is this, 13320 with Charles. You know what episode it is, and just make sure that this is the day, okay? It's 1,325th episode. This is 9 days before the election. I'm sure every day you will hear something about just make sure you vote. Is it that important for us to vote? Yes, it is, because your voice needs to be heard. The blessing of it is, no matter what happens, no matter who wins this thing, guess what? You more than likely will still be breathing. And as long as you are still breathing, there's still a chance to win. You will always win. You understand? And you got to know that. So now, Chap had said something about one thing that was major, and that was about the schools. Now, I know it's also going along with the election officials, but right now with the virtual learning. Now, I know that you both have children that have children in the system of this, you know, in this virtual learning thing. Now, personally, I'm sure there are stories that you all know. My question tonight is, and it's also for anyone that's listening, what have you learned about the virtual learning that makes it really, really good? Like, is there something good, positive about the virtual learning that you have realized or that you have seen? Or is it all, like, hurry up and put the kids back in school?
Well, the one thing I can just say real quickly, and I just want to just interject that, is the one thing that, you know, when everything was you know, before the pre-COVID, was that, you know, we had our children in school, and some parents leaned on that, you know, those teachers, you know, they were actually, you know, without us able to observe them doing anything, we actually had the best interest in our children. Now, the one thing that I can say right now is that with, you know, the COVID and the interaction, and what I had a chance was I would actually be able to sit in the classroom with, you know, my child or my grandchild and basically know what's going on and knowing that this teacher has the best interest in my child, you know, and the only thing that, you know, I would have a problem with is that, you know, it is something that's new to all of us. And sometimes, it depends on what child it was, they had a failure to, you know, control the classroom. But that's not a problem, because the good thing is that I'm able to observe and I'm able to see things. It's like I'm actually, you know, going with my child to school and see what is going on. I can actually let them know while they're, you know, supposed to be paying attention in class, or, you know, hey, listen, keep your head up. Hey, what are you doing? You know, and things like that in that nature. But, you know, the whole thing that with this interactive classroom is that now we have control over as being parents, that we can actually critique not only our child, but also the teacher. And that's, you know, the only comment I have right there for that.
So, see, that's a positive comment. I've heard that a couple of times. Chat, what about you? Like, have you experienced
from the things that I've seen, I will piggyback off of what Pop just said and say that, yes, it's good that the parents are now able to sort of see what's going on. Because on the one hand, they can quickly redirect their children if their child is the one that's going off. You can see if your teacher does or does not have your child's best interest at hand. What I've seen a lot of on the virtual is that the child who can sit and do the virtual with no problem, the child that can sit there and just swing through stuff, they are doing wonderful. The teachers are giving them a lot of attention. They're not disruptive. They're not anything. They're just, you know, right there doing it. Beautiful thing. But for the child that can't just sit and swing through, a lot of times I've seen a lot of them get left and thrown sort of in the corner and then just left there. For example, in school, if a child gets put out of the class, the child gets put out of the class for that class, or maybe for a few minutes, sent to the principal's office, the dean, the counselor, whoever's office, gets redirected and sent back to class in most cases. So although, yes, they may have gotten put out of the class for the distractions that they were causing, they were then returned back into the educational environment. Well, with virtual school, when a child is put out of the class, the child is put out of the class. And I don't mean put out of that class and can log back in later and get back on. They're just kicked out of the Zoom or their virtual learning, whatever they're watching. And
really?
I've seen this
out of
happen.
The classroom, like so that they can't get the lesson?
Correct. And then mom or dad or whoever get a note that says so-and-so was put out of class because of. But that child doesn't get to get put back in class. Now, you do have
until
some cases
when?
Where you, until the next day.
Okay.
Now, you do have some cases where you have parents like me that would go off and be like, you done bumped your head because that little itty-bitty disruption that they just had that I checked them about does not warrant them listening the whole entire rest of the day. You understand what I'm saying? So on the one hand, it's like, okay, I understand the child may. And see, I'm blessed that I work out in the community. So a lot of the centers that are packed with children because their parents are working and they have to have someone where they're doing the virtual school at, when they get put out, those teachers there aren't giving them new work to do. They're not allowed to. They then go into babysitting mode. They're not allowed to because they're not really that child's teacher. Their teacher is on the computer.
Oh, wow.
And let me just let y'all know right now, we have a caller on, and so once we get a chance, we get this caller on, and it's going to be a surprise.
Okay. So that teacher is on the computer. So a lot of places, unless it's a school doing some type of thing for their students, a lot of places might have a room with four or five different grade levels in it. They have anywhere between 5 to 10 staff walking around assisting with work, but that staff is not allowed to teach that teacher's curriculum because they're not teachers. So that in itself is a discouragement on it. The other piece is the children need the social interaction.
Yes.
Especially younger children. They need that social interaction. Now, although I know it sounds like I'm on this bandwagon, let's throw them back in the school. We shouldn't put our babies back in the school until we know it's safe for our babies to be back in school. However, with virtual learning, they lack that social interaction. Because even if you see your friend, you're not really allowed to address your friend in the virtual classroom because that's considered a distraction. So those are some of the cons I see with the virtual learning situation. But Brother Rob, you said we have a caller?
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
I'm just calling because I want to piggyback off what Pastor Toy said, you know, and actually, Adrian, you know, what difference do you see in a virtual learning and the actual going to school? Well, I can say this much right now. I have changed my mind about a lot of things, you know, even the teachers, you know, because I observed and I saw, you know, a lot of the teachers do have a lot of passion for their students, you know, and the way the I'm speaking on my grandchildren now, you know, the way that the children act in the school, or the way that they act without us being there, you know, and I've observed on several occasions, you know, that the teachers do have a good rapport with the children, and they do have a lot of respect for the children, but our children just do what they want to do at the time, you know, at when they feel as though they want to do it, you know. So basically what I'm saying is my granddaughter always had a problem, and she always came home crying, oh, the teacher did this, the teacher did that, and I don't like the teacher, da-da-da-da-da-da, you know. I have a great respect for these teachers now because they tolerate so much, they put up with so much with these children, you know, that when the parents are not around. Because I even sat and saw my granddaughter do a lot of the things that the teacher were accusing her of doing when she was in school, but she came home with this here tearful eye, you know, and crying. So I felt pity for her, you know. And then another thing is with the children and the virtual learning, like Pastor Toy said, what about the children that don't have that, how can you say it, don't have that broad experiment to just sit and listen and see, you know, what about the, oh, we could say children with ADHD, you know, or children that just don't have the patience, you know, and I have a grandson that goes through those changes, you know, but as long as there's an adult there, he'll sit there and he'll do everything that there's told, was told for him to do, you know. And to round it up with Pastor Toy, when you stated that the children see their friends, and if they speak out, you know, out of term and say hi to their friends or whatnot, then that's distracting the classroom. But what I've learned with these children is that once the teachers are off, these children still go into a meeting. A lot of them stays in meetings with each other. You know, even sometime at night I come in and I'm like, who are you on the computer with, Melena? Well, I'm on with my friends, so I make it my business to see is that her friend that she's on with, you know. So a lot of them do have, you know, it gave the children, a lot of children, a whole lot of knowledge. We already know that our children at 2 and 3 years old had knowledge of these cell phones. Now they have knowledge of these here laptops, you know, and they know how to get on and how to push a key and how to go into a meeting with their friends, you know. Some know and some probably don't know, you know, but that grandson that won't sit and listen to the teacher, no sooner than he get off from school, boom, he's on the computer talking to friends, or he's on the computer playing Minecraft. You know, they do a lot of other things with these computers other than just schooling, you know. And that's basically my input on, you know, what Pastor Toy and yourself, Adrian, Sister Adrian. Amen.
Amen. And I thank you for calling and sharing with us, Janice. And I agree with you. There are a lot of children that it's a blessing for, because like she said, they know how to do. They have someone to sit there with them to help them do, to step them through. For them, it's a blessing. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the ones that don't have nobody. They are the center. Or they're at an age where they're old enough to be left at home alone, and their parent has no choice but to leave them home alone. Those are the children that I'm talking about. Because trust and believe, although the teacher can put them out of the class and they're gone for the day, that breaks most teachers, that breaks their hearts when they have to do that. Because they know that child is missing something. But because the way the system is set up, it's no way for them to bring them back in. Now, some schools have their own personal thing, and they have something called the waiting room. And they can throw the kid into the waiting room for a second, come in and talk to them, and then bring them back into class. A lot of schools don't have that. So on that aspect of it, we need to revamp. It's not to put the blame on the student, the teacher, nor the parent. It's the way, it's the system. We need to revamp the way it's being done. And then, oh my gosh, you got the parent. I saw a parent sit there and cry the other day as she tried to help her child do new math. I mean, she literally broke down in tears. My heart broke for her.
Well, it's funny that your heart because we need to do a call to salvation because someone is out there right now really, truly struggling with what we're talking about, and they are so happy that now they can see it in a different way because the things that they might not have been able to see in the virtual learning, you just gave them another way of looking at something that they can maybe laugh and chuckle about. So now they need a call of a salvation. So just in case they don't know the guy that is able to help them through when all else is going love, somebody help them out, please.
You know, the call of salvation is sort of the main purpose and why we do what we do, why Purpose Kingdom Network exists. Why even the news forum exists, so that we can have a place to talk about current events and with a godly view. For some people, when you look at everything that's going on around us right now, it seems hopeless. We have this COVID thing going on. We're coming up on flu season. COVID is making a rise. Trillions of people are still out of work. Places are still partially shut down. Places are being threatened to have to shut down again because of the rise. We're going through this craziness with the election. We're now living in a day where hatred seems to be running amok throughout our country, let alone around the world, but throughout our countries. We're living in a time that when you look at everything going on around you, it could almost seem hopeless. I'm just trying to tell you about a person who can offer you hope in a hopeless situation. And here's the thing. He is the best at showing up and showing out and showing off in a hopeless situation. The earth was being flooded. He showed up and showed out with Noah. The Israelites were being attacked. He showed up and showed out with an army of just 300 men. The Israelites were being freed from slavery with Pharaoh and that army on their backs and a river in front of them. A hopeless situation, and he showed up and showed out. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, and he showed up and showed out and shut the lion's mouths. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was thrown in the fiery furnace, and he showed up and showed out and cooled the flames of the furnace. All hopeless situations. But for somebody that's saying, oh, that's all Bible stuff, I don't even know if that really happened. My daughter was born in 1988, dead, and rushed into a NIC unit. And they told me that I was going to have to leave her. 3 days later, I was able to bring her home out of a hopeless situation. And she's still here today, 30-some-odd years later. About 10 years ago, they told me to call my family because we were about to lose my mother. A hopeless situation. I'm here to tell you she's still here today because God showed up and showed out. And I can guarantee you that Brother Rob, Sister Adrian, Mother Janice, they can all tell you about hopeless situation that Jesus Christ showed up and showed out in. Starting with his own. A hopeless situation. God's creation fell into sin and needed to be purchased back into the proper relationship with him. Hopeless situation. But God loved us so much that he took on the form of man. He didn't just manifest himself here like, poof, I'm here, a grown man. He wrapped his power up in the womb of a virgin woman and allowed her to bring him forth into this realm of existence. He stepped down into this hopeless situation. He grew up to 33 years old and laid his life down on an old rugged cross for the remission of the sins of the world. Y'all can read about him. He could have stopped it if he wanted to. The Roman soldiers didn't nail him to the cross. The Jews screaming, crucify him, is not what got him nailed to the cross. What got him nailed to the cross was his love for mankind. Hallelujah, God. It was his love that nailed him to that cross. It was his love that made him stay there and give up his life. But it was that same love that made him get up 3 days and three nights later, as he said he would, and descend back into the Father under the witness of over 500 people that allowed the Father to release his Spirit amongst us. And he can step into your hopeless situation today, wherever you are, whatever you may be going through. He can step in if you'll invite him. He's standing right there saying, hey, I'm here for you. But he's not going to force himself on you. You have to accept him in. You have to accept the gift that God gave for the world. You have to accept it into your own life. You have to believe that God is who he said he is, that Jesus is who he said he is, and that they did what the word of God says they did. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever may believe in him shall not perish, but may have everlasting life. Hallelujah, God. And if you are willing to accept that, to accept that gift, to embrace that gift, you just say this prayer with me. You just say, Father God, I come to you this evening accepting the gift of your son Jesus. I ask him to come into my life. I ask him to forgive me of my sins, my wrongdoings. I ask him to begin to make me new, to take up residence in me. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you say that prayer, you just tell somebody. You don't have to wait until Sunday morning or Sabbath worship, prayer service, Bible study. That's about a church relationship. You can just tell somebody, hey, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And as soon as you do that, according to God's word, you are saved. Hallelujah, God. And we welcome you to the kingdom of God. Now, of course, we do encourage you to find the Bible believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But until that day, bless God. That's why Purpose Kingdom Network is here for you. And our very own Brother Robert Popeye Putson is going to come on, and he's going to tell you how to follow us, how you can keep in contact with us. And then Sister Adrienne will be back on to close us up. Brother Rob?
All right, all right. I'm here, and I'm going to do the announcements real quickly. This is Project Purpose Kingdom Network, and I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's episode. No matter where in the world you are, whether you're calling us online, you know, or you're listening online, or you're calling us via phone, we just like to thank you and appreciate the effort and the support that you're giving us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. If you want to contact us here via email, you can contact us at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. You can see your comments, questions, concerns. You just simply let us know that you changed your life over and you accepted Christ. We gladly celebrate that with each and every, you know, everyone that wants to hear for your progress report. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. We can do likewise. We invite you to like us on our Facebook page at Purpose Kingdom, where you can just see our upcoming shows and advertisements, and we greatly appreciate those that share. And we thank you so much. And with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for Roundtable Ministries. That's right, Roundtable Ministries will be on tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour. And once again, make sure you tell your friends and family members that at 9 p.m., Roundtable Ministries will be on. Okay, and we just it is with our various hosts. And we just hope you just share and tell someone that we're on. We're broadcasting on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. And also you can go to our archives. We can just simply type in the show name or the host name, and you hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. And at this time, we're just going to return to our program.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate everybody for what we did tonight because, one, it's 9 days until the election, which says that, no, it is not imperative, but it is imperative that you get out and vote and make sure that your vote counts. One thing I do want to say is I know that in the news we always used to do like a special interest. And because of the fact that it was all interesting in our special this evening, because it's all important for us, we got to think, what are we doing about the future that we live? Yeah, the vote is so important because the vote is what it is. But then we got to think bigger than the vote because we all know how the story is being told and we all know who we believe in. So now we need to go deeper than what we know and actually find a source from within that is going to hold us through this. And I mean, we have to start to show our babies, even through the virtual learning, that this is the new thing. We are going to embrace it as much as we can, and we are going to know that God is going to work this thing out. When we are the examples that the children are getting to see, before you lose it, always remember, they're watching you and God has equipped you because this is the meaning of, this is how we get to our new Exodus. You know, this is how we move our way out. I wanted to say thank you. I wanted to say good evening from myself and D-Buck Church. And I know that Kathy's still here and Brother Rob is still here and y'all can close it out. Good night.
Jesus lives. He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose. Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.